This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Aisha, she was the wife of Muhammad. Peace be upon him, we love him so much. Our amazing father was Abu Bakr. Radiallahu anhu, known as the truthful one. Aisha, Aisha, radiallahu anha. Aisha, Aisha, radiallahu.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dear sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I am your sister Fatima Barakatullah. And some of you might know me from the Ilm Feed podcast, maybe some of, you know, social media channels, etc. But anyway, I just want to welcome all of you to this class, Aisha radiallahu anha. I've called the class Aisha, mother of the believers, beloved to the messenger, scholar of Islam. I'm really excited to be teaching this class. It's something that it's like the culmination, I would say, of quite a few years of research, as well as attending classes about Aisha radiallahu anha and her scholarship, her ahadith, as well as some research that I've done for a book that I'm writing, and as part of my Alamiya course that I was doing previously. So before we get into the course, I just want to answer some of the questions that people have been asking on social media. One of the things I want to say is that these sessions will be about an hour long. I will say an hour long, inshallah. So from 7 till 8 p.m. Inshallah, the last 15 minutes will be devoted to Q&A. Okay. And if you have any issues, okay, regarding the administrative side of things, regarding, you know, attending and all that kind of thing, whether you've got the Zoom link or not, or whether your friend can join or not, please can you email the admin, okay? The email address is ask@almanar.org.uk. So that's ask, A-S-K, at almanar.org.uk. Okay, I'm not managing the administrative side of things, so I won't really be able to help you with that. So please could you email them if you have any issues or questions with regards to that. As for the number of sessions that these classes will be, I would say I've planned them to be about 15 to 20 hours. I planned the course to be 15 to 20 hours long. So that means it should take about 15 weeks. The reason why I can't give an exact number is that this is designed to be kind of like an ongoing thing, you know, and because I haven't actually taught this course, this specific course before, I would say that I'm not very sure exactly how long it will take. And obviously we want to enjoy it. We want to enjoy the life of Aisha radiallahu anha. We want to benefit from it. We want these halaqat to be like a date in your diary, right? Every week. So please bear with me. Please enjoy the class, you know, benefit from the class. I want to tell you that I'm not going to be sharing notes and things like that, you know, on the screen or anything like that. I'm going to be speaking directly to you. And what I would like from you, my dear sisters, is to attend, you know, to carve this time out for yourself. You know, I know we have kids. I know we're so busy. We have so many responsibilities and excuses and reasons why we can't attend, right? I'm sure we do. But I'd like to say to you that please, you know, when we really want to do something, we make the time for it and our excuses disappear, right? So what we need to do is put this in our diaries, put this in our calendars, put a reminder in, tell the family, tell the husband, to tell everybody, you know, that we're going to be attending this session, and inshallah that you're going to come with your full self. Okay, I want you to come with your whole self. And what I mean by that is, be very present during the class. Come with a beautiful notebook, you know, your favorite notebook. Dedicate a notebook especially for this class, okay? Bring your favorite pen. Make it your me time, right? Make it a time for yourself to reflect, to think, to spend some time with our mother, Aisha radiallahu anha, to learn from her life. And not just to, you know, look at her life as though it's some kind of biography or, you know, like a, I don't know, some kind of history lesson, but to actually think to yourself, how could I apply that lesson to my life? How is that relevant to me? SubhanAllah, sisters, I'll tell you that when it comes to certain people's lives, you know, when you study their life, you get so much benefit from it. And even if you study their life multiple times, you'll get multiple benefits depending on what's going on in your life at the time, right? So I remember, like, I've studied like the life or the tafsir of Surah Yusuf about 3 or 4 times with different shuyukh in different settings, in different stages of life. And I found the story was the same, right? The details of the story are the same. The shuyukh didn't really tell me anything much that was different. But because of what was going on in my life at the time, in each of those times, the relevance of the story and the lessons that I drew from it were completely different each time, right? And that is the nature of us human beings, you know. There might be things that we've heard before. There might be details that we know about. But depending on what's going on in our lives at the time, we benefit in different ways, right? And that's what this is all about. Benefiting and applying this to your life. So please carve this time out. Have your favorite notebook. Let me show you my notebook. This is my notebook that I take with me. And it's got quite a funny thing written on the front. All right, I got this from Paper Chase. It says, I don't know if you can see. It says, oh, I think my camera is mirrored. But it basically says plans for world domination. SubhanAllah. So basically, that's my favorite notebook. And I would like you to bring your favorite notebook with you. So I think I've covered all the little admin-y things. Alhamdulillah, this is all online, so we don't have to worry about fire exits and those kind of announcements, right? So, my dear sisters, why should we study this subject? Why should we study this class? Why does this subject matter? Why should we look into the life of our mother Aisha radhiyallahu anha? Well, I'm going to give you the greater why, and that is that we're living in a time in history when still, subhanAllah, human beings are talking about and questioning what it is to be a man and what it is to be a woman, right? Human beings are still confused about the purpose of their lives. They're still confused as to what the ideal way for a man and the ideal way for a woman to live is. And they are looking for role models everywhere, right? And different role models are presented to us, right? As Muslim women, subhanAllah, we can see that, unfortunately, throughout history, there have been times when people have tried to manipulate us as Muslim women, okay? Because, you see, my dear sisters, the enemies of Islam, they know that if you want to destroy, or if you want to affect, or if you want to change an entire culture and an entire people, the fastest way to do it is to influence and change the women. And that is because we as women, we are half of the ummah, and we give birth to the other half. So if our attitude, if our sense of commitment, if our, you know, devotion to Allah changes, it's the quickest way for the next generation of both men and women to be changed. And I would say the converse is also true. If we as a Muslim ummah, we see the things that are happening around the world and it troubles us, and we wish for the ummah to be revived, and we wish for, subhanAllah, we wish for that golden age, right? We wish to be the people that Allah said that we were meant to be, the best ummah that has been extracted for mankind, right? Then we have to do and we have to be the people who are deserving of that. And the quickest way for us to become that, I believe, is for the women of the ummah to increase their devotion to Allah, to become women of substance. Because my dear sisters, when we become women of substance, then we are no longer subject to the traps of shaitan. We no longer become women who are fickle. And this is what the prevalent culture in the world, you know, call it, I don't know, the capitalist influences, the corporations, you know, other ideologies, okay, the dominant ideologies in the world, this is what they would like. They would like us to be fickle women who are great consumers, who are very insecure, because that makes us good consumers. It makes us controllable. It makes us malleable. So my dear sisters, let us not, and let us move away from this idea that's constantly being kind of promoted. We can see it on social media all the time, right? We as Muslim women are being encouraged to become, as my good friend Naima B. Robert often says, we're being encouraged to become Kardashians in hijab, basically, right? Kardashians in hijab, right? Women who are obsessed with their looks, women who are obsessed with all of the dunyawi things, with their appearance, with their image, and that's it. And that's as far as it goes. No, my dear sisters, we are, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that we are supposed to be the best of mankind, the best of humankind, I would say as women, we are supposed to be the best of womankind, the best of womankind. And the way that we're going to revive that, one of the ways, one of the key ways, is to look at the lives of those great people before us, my dear sisters, those great role models before us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent, in order for us to look at the complete panorama, I would say, of their lives and be able to extract lessons for ourselves. And that's one of the wonderful things about Khadija. But that's one of the wonderful things about Aisha radiallahu anha as well. The wonderful thing about Aisha radiallahu anha is she had a very full life. She lived the full kind of, I would say, the human experience, you know, or the experience of womanhood in its many, many facets. Okay, even the areas where she didn't experience, so she was never a mother, right, a biological mother. Still, subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave her the opportunity to be a mother. And she treated her own nephews and nieces like her own children. Plus, she was mother of the believers, right? So she experienced motherhood as well as all the other areas of what it is to be a woman. She was also very human. So although she had that great status as Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha, she made mistakes in her life. She had regrets. She experienced emotions that we as women can identify with, right? We experience those emotions ourselves. But what we can learn from her is A, that as human beings, we will make mistakes. And that B, when we make mistakes, there is a way back. You know, we can be self-aware. We can become self-aware and we can fix those situations. and we can do our best to make amends. And that's one of the great things about Aisha radiallahu anha. So, what are some of the things we're going to cover during this class over the span of the next weeks? I'll say we will cover, of course, the status of Aisha radiallahu anha, the qualities of Aisha radiallahu anha, her childhood, her context, the context in which she was born and that she lived, her parents, about her parents, about her siblings, right? About, of course, her marriage to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, her relationship with her co-wives, the other wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We will also look at Aisha radhiyallahu anha during the Hijrah, after the Hijrah in Medina. What was her home life with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam like? What was her relationship with Fatima radhiyallahu anha like? Her relationship with her co-wives, we mentioned that. The verses of hijab and how they affected Aisha radhiyallahu anha. We're going to look at the battles that she attended or that she accompanied the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with. And we will look at some of the notable incidents that happened during those battles. Her famous onyx necklace. Who knows about her onyx necklace? You can type something in the chat if you know about her famous necklace that she would always lose. And that was the cause of verses of the Quran to be revealed, right? That actually helped us as believers. Okay. And we will talk about her during the illness of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, her life during the Khilafah of Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and then and beyond. Okay, we will look at some of the controversial incidents that happened. We're not going to shy away from those. The issues that happened surrounding the assassination of Uthman radiallahu anhu and her reaction to that. We're going to look at the Battle of the Camel, her relationship with Ali radiallahu anhu after the death of Ali and her relationship with Muawiyah, the unique characteristics of her scholarship. So we're going to actually take a little bit of a look at, you know, her ahadith, especially her unique opinions and her approach to fiqh. We're going to look at her school, the little school that she built, you know, of great scholars, many of whom became the seven greatest scholars of Medina, right? She was one of their key teachers. Her impact on Islamic law, Aisha radhiyallahu anha as a teacher, Aisha radhiyallahu anha as a daughter. We're going to look at her as a sister. We're going to look at some of the common contentions or controversial things that other groups, okay, such as the Shia, say about Aisha radhiyallahu anha. And we're going to address some of those contentions and also some of the things that non-Muslims say about Aisha radhiyallahu anha. And we're going to address some of those as well. So we've got a lot to get through, alhamdulillah, which is no bad thing. So I hope you've got your pens ready. Let us begin, inshallah. So let's talk about some of the objectives of the class. We want to understand who Aisha radhiyallahu anha was and her background and role in the history of Islam. We want to examine her relationship with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a wife, as a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and as his student. We want to study the major events that took place in Aisha radhiyallahu anha's life, both before the Prophet's death and after his death. We want to grow in love for Aisha radhiyallahu anha and be humbled by and draw lessons from her life, struggles, and triumphs. We want to examine Aisha radhiyallahu anha's manners and methodology in deen, life, family, and her contribution to the wider Muslim community. We want to examine Aisha radhiyallahu anha's contribution to Islamic law, to appreciate the crucial role that women played in the conveying, preserving, and understanding of Islam. We want to know Aisha radiallahu anha. We want to love her. We want to follow her example, and we want to defend her. So when people cast aspersions on her, any aspect of her life or her character or her story, we want to be able to address those, right? And we want to examine and adequately address any doubts cast by people and other sects upon Aisha radiallahu anha. So in this session, we are going to, first of all, talk about the importance of learning about the Sahaba, right, in general. So we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the Sahaba a special status. You know, he said about them, radiyallahu anhum wa radu anhu. Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with him. Yani they have contentment with Allah and Allah is pleased with them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said in the Quran in Surah Al-Fath, which is Surah 48, ayah number 29, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and I'm going to read the translation. He said, Muhammadun Rasulullahi wal-ladhina ma'ahu. He said, Muhammad is the messenger of Allah and those who are with him. They are severe against the disbelievers and merciful amongst each other. You see them bowing and falling down, prostrate in prayer, seeking bounty from Allah and his good pleasure. The mark of them, of their faith, is on their faces, in other words, their foreheads, from the traces of prostration during Salah. This is their description in the Torah, but their description in the Injil is like a sown seed which sends forth its shoot, then makes it strong and becomes thick, and it stands straight on its stem, delighting the sowers, that he may enrage the disbelievers with them. Allah has promised those among them who believe and do righteous good deeds, forgiveness and a mighty reward. And this is about the Sahaba. You know, they were promised forgiveness and a mighty reward. And also, you know, one of the Sahaba, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he said a wonderful thing. And I think this is something very relevant to our times for us to really take heed. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he said, and he was a great scholar himself, right? He said, whoever amongst you wishes to follow someone, if you want to follow anyone, okay? And obviously he is a Sahabi and he was a great scholar. So he lived beyond the lives of many of the scholars, of many of the Sahaba. Many of the Sahaba died, you know, during his life and he witnessed that. He said, whoever amongst you, and he was talking to the Muslims and the next generation of Muslims, whoever amongst you wishes to follow someone, then let him follow those who have died. And he was talking about the Sahaba. In other words, the Sahaba who have died, let follow them. For the one who is still alive is not safe from fitna. The companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam were the best of this ummah, he said, the most righteous of heart and the deepest in knowledge and the most straightforward. People whom Allah chose to accompany his prophet and establish his religion. So acknowledge their virtue and follow in their footsteps and adhere as much as you can to their morals and religion, for they were following right guidance. SubhanAllah. The beautiful thing he said is, you know, we are sure about their deen. We're sure about their status. So we should follow them. When it comes to people in our times, even scholars in our times, no one is free from fitna. We don't know, yani, you know, what people will die upon. And we don't know what fitna people will be affected by. So of course, yani, as believers, we are supposed to refer to the scholars, right? The scholars that we trust. However, for all time, we have the example of the Sahaba as the benchmark. We have them as the touchstone. So no matter what times you're living in, whatever corruption has spread in the Muslim community, you know, in the West, in the East, wherever we are living, we've always got those, the lives of the Sahaba as a litmus test. We've got them as an example a timeless example for all times for us to follow. Subhanallah. Beautiful. And we know that there are so many ahadith, so many ayat of the Quran that talk about the virtues of the Sahaba and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with them and that we should follow them and we follow their example. Okay. So what is the definition of a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? A companion of the Prophet is, and this is a general definition, is somebody who met the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the state of Iman and died in the same state, right? So, and usually it should be an adult. There is a category of Sahaba that were children, but you know, that's a different category. So, let me see how everybody is doing. Okay, alhamdulillah, I think everyone's still with me. So I just want you to write down in your notebooks quickly, just quickly off the top of your head, what comes to the top of your head, some of the like special or unique qualities of Aisha radiallahu anha. Just quickly jot them down. Say the first five things that come to your head. And you can type them into the chat as well. What are some of the unique characteristics of Aisha radiallahu anha that come to your head? That she was outspoken and clever, jazakallah khairan. That her piety, her knowledge, her confidence. She was brave, intelligent, mature, great memory, brave, courageous, intelligent, good memory, scholar, her memory, ability to comprehend. Whoa, I can't keep up. Let me see. She was a strong leader. Her knowledge of wills, I think you mean writing wills and inheritance, knowledge, eloquence. She was funny. She was funny, yes. She was witty, compassionate, intelligent, confident, curious. Oh, yes, curious. She was curious. And thank Allah for her curiosity, right, sisters and brothers? I mean, subhanAllah, yani, if it wasn't for her curiosity, how many things would we not know? It was a blessing of Allah that Aisha radiallahu anha was so inquisitive, right? That the Prophet ﷺ loved her. Yes, he loved her the most. Extremely generous, absolutely. SubhanAllah. You know, at the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, he had started giving the Sahaba a stipend, right? He would give a certain, I would say, like a certain salary to different Sahaba, because there was so much wealth that had come into the Muslim Ummah, he would divide and give, especially the early Muslims, he would give them the highest salary, right? And Aisha radiallahu anha and the Ummahat al-Mu'mineen, the mothers of the believers, he used to give them a special amount. But it was very well known that Aisha radiallahu anha, as soon as that wealth would come into her house, immediately it would be gone, because she would distribute it so quickly. She didn't want it to be there in her house. SubhanAllah. Humble. Yes, humble. You see, you can be confident and you can still be humble. SubhanAllah. Right? And this is something we learn from Aisha radiallahu anha. Intelligent in her speech. Yes, intelligent. Truthful. Honest. The greatest narrator of hadith. Clever. Humorous, daring, independent, charitable, mashallah, playful and optimistic, eloquent, beautiful, mashallah. She was naughty sometimes, somebody's written. I don't know if that's an appropriate way to talk about the, you know, one of the Ummahat al-Mu'mineen, but I know what you mean. You know, there were times when she was very playful, right? Okay, so let's talk about the status of the mothers of the believers. We will revisit this when we look at the Aisha radiallahu anha's relationship with her co-wives. But just so that we know who we're talking about, right? And so that we hold Aisha radiallahu anha in the esteem that we should, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, in surah number 33, ayah number 6, that the Prophet is closer to the believers than themselves. And his wives are their mothers, right? وَأَزْوَاجُهُ أُمَّهَاتُهُمْ His wives are their mothers. So what does that mean? They are, the scholars of Islam said, they are our mothers in tarbiyah, in the fact that they nurture us and teach us. Also, the scholars said that they are sanctified. They have a sanctified status for the believers, right? So we don't speak about them in certain ways, right? We are careful in the way we speak about them. In respect as well, we have a high level of respect for them. Also, they are very noble, right? They are the most noble of women because they were literally married to the most noble of men. No man can marry them after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? They have special rules of hijab. We will look into that later. So rules that don't apply to the average woman. They are considered part of his Ahlul Bayt, right? The people of his family, right? The special family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They will get double the reward. So Allah said it to them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them the offer, right? To choose between the dunya and between the akhirah and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they chose the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they chose the akhirah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised them, if they are devoted to Allah, then they will get double the reward that the average person would get. And yeah, we know that their status is due to the fact that they chose the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the simple life that he lived and being with him on his path over this life and its glitter and glamour. That's what made them special. And you know, dear sisters, this life is constantly calling at us, isn't it? It's constantly telling us to lower our standards and just be immersed in the dunya, just be immersed in this life, become, you know, the lowest of the low. Subhanallah. But when we read about these great women and the great people of our past, when we reconnect with their lives, when we reconnect with the Quran and the Sunnah, what happens is, we are elevated. Our spirit is elevated. Our goals are elevated. Our standards are elevated. And then, inshallah, we become women of substance. And you're going to hear me say that phrase during this series, you know, women of substance. Because when I look around, especially when I look around, you know, the social media landscape, I ask myself, you know, is this what Allah created women for? No, he did not. He created us to be women of substance. So we will look at the wives of the Prophet, the other wives and her relationship with them. So let's look at 12 unique qualities of Aisha before we start talking about, I think in the next session we will begin with, you know, her childhood, her life, her context in terms of, you know, what time she was born in, etc. But today, of course, this is our first session. We're introducing the topic and we're really getting into the kind of right frame of mind, right, to study this. So let's end this session before the Q&A with the 12 unique qualities of Aisha radhiyallahu anha. Number one, her superiority amongst women. Hadith in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and I'm going to say it in English translation. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there were many men who achieved status of perfection or completeness, and none were complete or perfect amongst women except Aisha, the wife of Pharaoh, and Mary, the daughter of Imran, right? The mother of Isa alayhi salam. And then he said, verily the virtue of Aisha over other women is like the virtue of Farid, which is a type of food that is considered the best food, or was considered the best food for the Arabs at the time, over all other foods, right? So he specially singled out Aisha radiallahu anha for her virtue in this hadith. Quality number two, she was given glad tidings of being the Prophet's wife in Jannah. Subhanallah. She reported that Jibreel alayhi salam came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he came with her image on a green silken cloth, and he said, "Verily, this is your wife in this world and in the hereafter." This is a hadith in Sunan at-Tirmidhi. This is your wife in this world and in the next. Subhanallah. Also, so that's two unique qualities of Aisha. And the third unique quality of Aisha, she was one of the few people whom Jibreel alayhi salam sent salam to personally, right? Abu Salama related that once Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Oh Aish," and this was her nickname, right? When he was calling Aisha, he said, "Oh Aish, this is Jibreel greeting you." So she said, "Wa alayhi salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You see what I do not see." So she said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, "You can see him, but I can't see him," right? So that was the third virtue of Aisha, or unique quality, that she was one of the few people whom Jibreel alayhi salam sent salam to personally. The fourth is, she is only one of four companions who narrated more than 1,000 ahadith, right? So she is one of the mukthiruna fi riwayat al-athar, one of the people who narrated a lot of hadiths. Okay, number five, she was the only wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who was a virgin when he married her. Quality number six, she was the most beloved person on earth to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she was the daughter of the most beloved person on earth to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the most beloved man on earth, right? We know the hadith where, you know, the Sahabi asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Which person is dearest to you?" And he said, "Aisha." And then he said, "What about amongst the men? Who amongst the men?" And he said, "Her father," right? He even linked the answer to the second question to his beloved Aisha radiallahu anha, that he is her father. The seventh unique quality of Aisha radiallahu anha is that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayah commanding the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to give his wives a choice, right? We'll go into that incident later, inshallah. But there was an incident where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Give your wives a choice. Do they want to stay with you and live this life of hardship and difficulty and challenges, but, you know, obviously of reward as well? Or do they want this dunya?" Right? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to give his wives this choice, the first person he went to was Aisha, right? And he said, "You do not have to hasten, you don't have to make your decision quickly." He said, "Go and consult with your parents." And she said, "No, I do not need to consult my parents." She said, "Do I need to consult my parents regarding this?" She said, "I choose Allah and His Messenger and the home of the hereafter." And she was the first to say this, and then the other wives followed. So this was one of the unique characteristics of Aisha. Number eight, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the best of creation, passed away in her lap. His soul was taken while he was lying in her lap. Subhanallah. Number nine, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the two greatest people after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are buried in her house, right? They're buried in her house. Abu Bakr and Umar. You know, subhanAllah, you see the green dome above, you know, the Masjid al-Nabawi. This is Aisha radhiyallahu anha's house, right? Underneath that dome is the house of Aisha radhiyallahu anha. Subhanallah. Number 10, the 10th unique quality. She is the only wife upon whose lap he would be resting, or in whose room he would be, and revelation would come down while he was in that state, right? The 11th unique quality, Allah revealed verses of the Quran from above the seven heavens, exonerating her and clearing her reputation for all times. Verses that will be recited until the end of time, until there are believers on earth, right? And the 12th unique quality, that people used to try to bring their gifts to the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on the day when he would be staying with her, right? Because they knew that that was his favorite day. And to seek to draw close to the Messenger of Allah, they would bring him gifts of things that he liked on that specific day, because they knew that she was the dearest of his wives to him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So, dear sisters, this has been the first session. Inshallah, next session, we're going to go into the scholarly status of Aisha radhiyallahu anha, what some of the scholars have said about her in terms of her scholarship. Then we're going to go into her birth. We're going to go into her name, her lineage, her nicknames and titles. We're going to look at her appearance. We're going to see what people have said about her appearance, her parents, her siblings, and who they were. We will basically look at her entire family tree, and then we will go on to the first stages of her life, the first years of her life, which were spent in Mecca. Of course, she was born, she was only 3 years old, subhanallah, when Khadija radhiyallahu anha passed away, right? She was 3 years old. So that kind of puts things into context, right? And she grew up as a believer from the beginning. She never knew a time when her parents were not Muslim. So, inshallah, with that, we will end this session and we shall have some Q&A. So I'm going to look at the chat box and look at as many questions as I can manage in the next 10 minutes. Okay. So some people are asking about the recordings. Now, this is being recorded, inshallah. And so the aim is, I believe, that Al-Manar would like to eventually publish this on their YouTube channel. So yes, if anyone misses an episode or, you know, a session, I would encourage you not to miss, you know, like I said, carve out this time, make it as though you're attending a class in person, and make sure you attend. But if for some reason you can't, then inshallah, hopefully there will, we plan for there to be recordings available, but I can't really tell you when that will be, right? So it's not going, I don't know if it's going to be something that's going to be quite immediate or not. Okay. Okay, one of the sisters is saying that sometimes people describe Aisha radhiyallahu anha as being very jealous, which is something we can relate to with our husbands, but I don't know what to make of it. For example, okay, yes, there were times when Aisha radhiyallahu anha experienced jealousy, and that she even made the wrong move. She made a mistake. And what that shows us is that she's a human being. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us role models and examples that were real human beings. They're not infallible. They were the best people, but that even they were not infallible, right? Infallibility is something for the prophets, right? So Aisha radiallahu anha, yes, there were times when she made mistakes. We will talk about those. But I think what we need to really pay attention to is how she made amends afterwards, right? How she fixed those situations. And subhanAllah, you'll see that her way of apologizing, her way of making amends was always very adequate, very complete. Somebody is saying, can you please share the 11th quality? The 11th quality. Ya Allah. Maybe somebody can share it. I think you guys need to create some kind of group for yourselves so you can share notes. But the 11th quality was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed verses of the Quran from above the seven heavens about her and clearing her name, exonerating her. Is it possible to have notes? No, it's not. You've got to make the notes. Or you could, you know, like hook up with a friend and ask them to make notes for you. I don't know. But, you know, making notes is a really key part of being a student. So please make your own notes. What was the food that was referred to when discussing her virtue? Tharid. Tharid. So Tharid is basically, you can even look it up on Google, actually. I think Arabs still make it. Basically, it's like a mixture of meat with bread and like a soup, right? So in other words, the carbohydrate that they used to have at the time with the meat that they used to have at the time and with some kind of broth, right? And that was considered like the food that they would serve guests, you know, like the best food on Eid, etc. So that's why the Prophet ﷺ talked about Tharid in that way. We could say, like, if you're an Asian, you know, the way we talk about biryani, right, is the way that they would have talked about Tharid. When is your book going to be published? Okay, so alhamdulillah, yes, I'm writing a book about Aisha radiallahu anha. This is a children's book about Aisha, so it's aimed at age 9 and above. Just make dua for me, inshallah. As soon as it's finished, you will know, inshallah. I'm 10 years old, sitting with my mom. I want to ask you, why the Prophet ﷺ favored Aisha over his other wives, even above Khadija? Well, look, Khadija was always known as the number one. Okay, even Aisha radiallahu anha knew that Khadija radiallahu anha had a special status, right? She was the wife that the Prophet ﷺ married and was with in his hardest times, right? She was the wife who had been with him through thick and thin. He proposed to her, she wanted to marry him. You know, they were a match that was, yani, you can't, is incomparable, right? It was a different stage of the Prophet ﷺ's life. And Khadija radiallahu anha contributed to Islam and to the deen in a way that no one else could contribute. And you know, that's why Aisha radiallahu anha, she used to sometimes feel quite jealous when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam talked about Khadija, or she saw that, you know, he was taking so much care about Khadija's friends and relatives and sending them food and remembering her. And once she even said something a little bit harsh about Khadija radiallahu anha, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam got so upset. He said, no, Allah has not given me a wife better than her, right? And he said, because she was, and he gave lots of reasons, right? She gave me wealth when people were taking wealth away from me. She believed in me when the people disbelieved, right? And Allah gave me children through her and not through any other wife of mine, right? So Khadija radiallahu anha, of course, she has that unique status. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never married anyone while he was with Khadija. So I don't think it's necessary for us to compare, you know. We know that Khadija is unique and she has that status. And also Khadija is one of the four greatest women from the hadith, right? From one of the four greatest women of all time. And Aisha was not given that status, even though Aisha radiallahu anha does have a high status. So in terms of why was Aisha the favorite, there were many reasons, yani. And inshallah, you'll see that throughout the weeks, you'll see that she had a very unique, playful, loving relationship with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She'd never been married before, you know, and the other wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had marriages before, right? So there's no doubt that there's something unique in that, right? If you've never been married before, the first person you marry, it's a special experience. It's a special bond and relationship, right? But also there can be many, many reasons. And sometimes, you know, we can say very openly that, you know, sometimes you love someone and you don't know why, you know? It's not something that you can tangibly say exactly why. So like, for example, a parent, you have many children, you love all of them. But at certain times, there might be a certain child who really, you know, you feel a lot more affinity towards, right? And at certain times, another child you might not feel as close to, right? But it doesn't mean you don't love them. It just means that these are matters of the heart, right? These are matters of the heart, and human beings sometimes can't help who they love more, right? But of course, with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was very, very equal towards all of his wives, right? In terms of financially, in terms of dunyawi things, in terms of time, right? And that's what's the most important thing. Okay. Yes, do feel free, you know, sisters, to create groups and channels and things that you know, between yourselves to benefit, inshallah. Jazakum Allah khairan for your du'as and your nice comments. I really appreciate them. Some people are asking, what do you mean, be women of substance? What do I mean by being women of substance? We don't want to be the sort of women who basically can be swayed by whatever the latest fad is, right? And that's unfortunately how women are being manipulated all the time throughout the world, right? The fashion industry, the music industry, Hollywood, you know, all sorts of industries are constantly addressing and targeting women. There's a great book you can read. It's called The Beauty Myth. I think it's by Naomi Wolf. I keep forgetting the name of the author. And it's about how images are used to make women feel insecure so that women will buy more, right? We don't want to be those type of women who are easily manipulated, right? As I mentioned before, Kardashians in hijab. We don't want to be that. I hope it's clear. Women of substance, women who are believers, you know, women who care about the akhirah more than they care about the dunya. That's what I mean by women of substance. Yes, somebody says it would mean being someone who has principles, who is not influenced and persuaded by the glam and shine of the material world. Indeed. The Beauty Myth by Naomi Wolf. Yes. Okay. Will there be future courses? Inshallah, let's get this one covered first. So inshallah, I think that's recommend. Somebody says, can you recommend some what? some books. There are lots of books on the female companions, but inshallah, what I will do is next time, I will bring some of those books. One of the key books that I'm using for this class is this book. It's in Arabic. It's Aisha, Umm al-Mu'mineen, radiallahu anha, by Dr. Ibrahim bin Abdullah bin Saleh al-Duwish. This my dad bought for me as a gift from, from the Gulf. So, and then there's this book. It's a translation from Turkish, I believe. You might have seen. I would say most of the books, or none of the books in English, are really that detailed, right? Books on other Sahabiyat, inshallah, I will show you next time. And I've also got, of course, right behind me, this book, right? Khadija, if you're interested, this is this is my book. That is aimed at children aged 9 and above, and it aims to bring the life of Khadija radhiyallahu anha to life as a story. So inshallah, I think somebody's asking for the reference of a hadith. Oh, so Jibreel saying salam. I should have known this, that this hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim. Okay. Hadith of Abu Salama, that once Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, O Aish, this is Jibreel greeting you. So she said, Wa alayhi salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You see what I do not see. She was addressing Allah's Messenger with this last sentence. So it's from Bukhari and Muslim. You can look it up. You can Google it, inshallah. It's quite a famous hadith. So inshallah, with that, I will finish, and any of the last things that you guys have mentioned, we will maybe address next time if we can. These recordings will eventually be available on YouTube, we said, and possibly on my podcast. So if you want to keep informed, follow the Al-Manar Instagram account. Right. If you have any issues with the course or any questions, you can email ask@almanar.org.uk. And there's also a WhatsApp number, which I posted. Okay, let me tell you the WhatsApp number. It is 0044, which is like the UK code, 7454008803. Okay, so inshallah, we will put that in the chat. I think inshallah, with that, we end this session. You can also follow me on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and if there's any news, I will post that there. I've also got a YouTube channel, which inshallah I will be posting these recordings on eventually. And on Muslim Central, I have a podcast. So if you'd like to subscribe to that, please do. And these, as well as other talks, will be available, hopefully inshallah, as audios there. So inshallah, with that, I will finish and I will say the dua. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu alayk.
Jazakallah khairan, Sister Fatima. And inshallah, we look forward to seeing everyone next Sunday, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Brothers and sisters of the world and all humanity, there is a lady that we adore, the mother of believers, the special one. Oh, Aisha, Aisha, radiallah anha. Aisha, Aisha, radiallah anha. She was the wife of Muhammad, peace be upon him, we love
love him so much. Our amazing father was Abu Bakr, radiallahu anhu, known as the truthful one. Aisha, Aisha, radiallahu anha. Aisha, Aisha, radiallahu anha. She was the first woman scholar of our Islam. Yeah, she was amongst the greatest giver of hadith. She was a mother. Aisha, Aisha, radiallahu anha. Aisha, Aisha, radiallahu anha. Aisha, Aisha, radiallahu anha. Aisha, Aisha, radiallahu anha. She was a mother. Aisha, Aisha, radiallahu anha. Aisha, Aisha, radiallahu anha. Aisha, Aisha, radiallahu anha. Aisha, Aisha, radiallahu anha.